We live in a noisy, distracting world. And in today's gospel, we see that even in the things that we see that are good and wonderful and maybe even awesome can distract us from what is really important. Put yourself in today's story. Can you imagine what it would have been like to see Jesus transfigured before your eyes? His clothing become dazzling white. It's like looking into the sun and having to squint. Matthew writes in his gospel that his face, Jesus' face, shone like the sun. But that's not all. With him appears two great Bible heroes, Elijah and Moses. And what an awesome experience that would have been. Is there any wonder that the disciples may have missed what was really important that day? Some may have been like James and John, would have been speechless in that experience. Maybe others would have been like Peter, just blurting out something. Let's make three dwelling places, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Mark excuses Peter by saying he didn't know what to say because they were terrified. And then a cloud and a voice appears. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. In that short sentence, God says three things. He declares three things about Jesus. He says, "This is my son." What God was saying is that you cannot separate Jesus from me. He is my very being. In the Nicene Creed, we describe Jesus eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, very God of very God, meaning Jesus was God walking among us. Next, God reveals his very heart. He says, Jesus is the beloved, meaning in Jesus, God sent nothing less than his love to us. And then God says, listen to him. At first that might seem odd because during the transfiguration, Jesus doesn't say anything. But Jesus had already told the disciples much, and there was much more that they were going to hear going down to Jerusalem and the cross. Hearing and listening are not always the same thing. Like the disciples, our own agendas can keep us from truly listening to what is being said. Parents, how many times in raising our children have we said, "You're not listening"? Or how many times do our children tell us, or at least feel, that we aren't listening to them? Same can be true of husbands and wives not listening to each other. A couple days ago, someone told me that we should restate in the next newsletter why church council approved worship's recommendation to stop Saturday worship. Because someone had told them the reason we're not having Saturday worship because Pastor Don doesn't want to do two services. Apparently, somebody's not listening. It is true that our personal agendas can keep us from listening. Today we come to the end of the Epiphany season to show forth. For 6 weeks, our focus has been who Jesus is, who Jesus is. And this Wednesday, as we begin the Lenten journey, we reflect why he came and who he is as our Lord and Savior. Make no mistake, it wasn't easy for the disciples to listen to what Jesus had to say to them. It simply didn't fit into their perception of Jesus or their idea of what was expected of them. Not too much different for those who follow today. So what did Jesus have to say to them? Jesus said to them, "Come follow me." Sure, they left everything, yet not one of them knew that they were following Jesus to the cruel cross. Jesus had told them, though, a couple times, according to Mark's gospel. And then again today, in the text, Jesus says, "Tell no one about what has taken place until the Son of Man has risen from the dead." Mark tells us they questioned among themselves what this rising from the dead would mean. You and I, on this side of the resurrection, we ask, how could these who were so close to Jesus not understand what he was saying? We who claim Jesus as our Lord and Savior, do we get what Jesus is really saying to us? Or are we so distracted by the business of our agendas that we fail truly to listen? Jesus said, "Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me." Is there any denying of self in our following? Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there shall your heart be." Where do we place our treasure? Is our time, is our talent, is our money the first fruits? The first fruits? Are they intentional in our giving? Jesus said, "When you pray, first forgive anyone who has offended you." Do we do that? Jesus said, "Whoever wishes to be first must be servant of all." Do we have a servant's heart? Or do we just automatically say, "Well, someone else is more qualified, let them do it"? A more important question we need to ask ourselves personally: what am I doing to further the mission and ministry of Jesus' church? And that ought to be an ongoing question for all of us. Jesus said, "You give them something to eat." The hungry are still with us. But the hunger is more than just physical. There's a hunger, a spiritual hunger out there. And Jesus is telling us, give them something to eat. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, only believe." When we face the storms that come into our lives, does fear overtake us? Or is our faith strong enough to let God be God and to know that his love for us can sustain us and get us through whatever we face, even if we are having to face death itself, allowing God be God? Jesus still calls us, "Come and follow me." Will we let the distractions in our lives get in the way of following the one we claim to be our Savior? Lutheran theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was martyred during the Nazi Hitler reign, wrote a book of Cost of Discipleship a long time ago, but that book is still very, very popular. He writes this one statement here: when Jesus calls us to follow, he calls us to die to self. That sounds like a tall order. But if we're honest, we must admit that many distractions in our lives are distractions that we invite into our lives. Listen to him. For in Jesus, he gives us the love, the mercy, and the grace that truly allows us to be his followers. We just need to listen to him. Amen.